Today the church celebrates the great feast of Pentecost. And of course, this feast day, which closes the Easter season, is the day when we commemorate the Holy Spirit coming upon the earliest disciples, the apostles, and the Blessed Mother. But particularly we focus on the apostles who had been in the upper room and what changed in their life because of it. There are a number of times in Scripture that we read where the disciples were gathered in the upper room behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, as Scripture says. But as we heard in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and something radically different happened in their lives. Through the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, they were able to go out and to proclaim Christ raised from the dead. And in their proclamation of the gospel, we know that there were thousands of converts. And we also know that because of the proclamation of the gospel, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, they also were able to cast out demons, to heal those who were suffering. There were many powerful examples of God's Spirit at work within them. Today, as we recognize that the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and gave them this power to proclaim Christ crucified and risen from the dead, we also recognize that today is, in a sense, the day of the birth of the church. That today we recognize that it was the church that began to carry on the ministry that Christ had in the world. He had proclaimed the coming of the kingdom. But after his ascension into heaven and the descent to the Holy Spirit, it now was up to the apostles to proclaim that message. And so thus, we look at this feast day as also the day that the church was born. A couple of weeks ago, somebody stopped me after Mass and asked me a question that gave me a little bit of pause for thought. In fact, it was because it's a question that I've wondered the answer to myself. And I have a bit of an answer, might be somewhat unfulfilling to this important question, but it's a bit of an answer. The gentleman after Mass had said to me, if we believe what we read in the Acts of the Apostles to be true, that there were thousands of converts, that the sick were healed, the possessed were set free, that these powerful signs were given by the work of the Holy Spirit, how come we don't see those things today? Well, before I answer that question directly, I think a bit of an analogy can help. And I offer this analogy because at least it's been helpful to me, and maybe it is for you. When I was getting ready to graduate from college, much to my surprise, I started to get a lot of unsolicited letters in the mail telling me that I had been approved for a credit card. And there were a bunch of them that came in. And some of the credit lines were a bit ridiculous. One of them was even an unlimited credit line. And I remember thinking to myself, it was impressive that they had figured out that I was going to graduate from college and knew exactly when to send these credit cards. But they kind of missed that I was a liberal arts major, and there is no way that I should have been offered an unlimited credit card. After all, in college, we liberal arts majors always told the joke, how do you get a liberal arts major off your front porch? Pay for the pizza. So all of these credit card offers came in, and they all said the variation on the same theme. You have been pre-approved for this. You've been given this credit card, this line of credit. You have it. All you have to do is activate the card. As enticing as that is, yes, just activate the card. Now, I offer this as an analogy because I think it might be helpful to understand an important spiritual dynamic. When we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and in particular, I'd like to draw your attention to the sacraments of initiation, baptism, and confirmation. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in those sacraments. It's true, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in different ways also, but in a very particular way in those sacraments. So in a sense, when we receive those sacraments, it's as though we are receiving a pre-approved we are pre-qualified to have the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our life. But something else has to happen. We have to choose to allow that to happen. We have to activate the card, so to speak. Now, the reason why this is important to know is because God does not override our free will. The wisdom and the order that God created the world in places a high priority on free will. God wants us to choose to love him. And in order for that love to be real, it has to be a choice. It can't be forced by God. The very nature of love means that if God forced us to love him and forced us to do his will, our love would not be real. It would be fake. But God wants a real love from us. And therefore, we have to choose to love him. So part of the ordering of creation is that God always respects our free will. The choice is ours. So in the sacraments, particularly the sacraments of baptism and confirmation, we're pre-approved to have the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our life, but we have to activate it. We have to assent to it. We have to use our free will to accept the power of the Holy Spirit to be at work in our life. Now, with that in mind, I'd like to offer an answer to the question I was asked several weeks ago. If what we read in the Acts of the Apostles is true, how come it's not happening today? There are two parts to my answer. The first one is, it is, but you have to know where to look. What we see in the Acts of the Apostles is happening today. That the power of the Holy Spirit is leading to conversions. Now, perhaps we haven't seen 3,000 people convert in one day, but it does happen. Christianity is very young in the African continent, and there are stories that have been told of, even in our own time, huge numbers of people being received into the church at one time. Even Archbishop Lefebvre, the great apostle to the African continent, speaks of times when he, as a bishop, would travel to a village in Africa and proclaim the gospel and immediately receive hundreds, if not thousands, into the church. Talk about an abbreviated RCIA program. So mass conversions do happen. What about casting out of demons and freedom from spiritual oppression? Absolutely, it happens. I've seen it with my own eyes. What about physical healings for those who are sick or suffering? Yes, I've seen it. I've experienced it myself. These things do happen, but we have to know where to look for them. And again, I think one of the beautiful ways that God preserves our free will is that more often than not, these things happen in a smaller and subtle way to preserve our free will, to preserve our choice to look for them and to see the power of God at work. So the first part of my answer to the person who asked me that question is, well, these things are happening, but you have to look for them. The second part of my answer to the gentleman would be this. They don't happen nearly often enough. Because for many of us, there is a struggle to activate the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God does not override our free will. Even though we've received the gift of the Spirit in the sacraments, it doesn't immediately become operative in our life. We have to allow it to happen. God will not override our free will. So how is this power of the Holy Spirit activated in our life? Like a credit card that we've been pre-approved for, but we have to activate it. It's not as easy as calling the 800 number on the card or logging onto the website. It's a little bit more involved than that. First of all, how do we see it happen? That might back us into the answer to the question. There are two ways in which we can see the power of the Holy Spirit become very active in people's lives. One way, which I would propose to you is the more common way, is that over time, as one's prayer life deepens, as their spiritual life matures. There is a deeper surrender to the Holy Spirit in one's life, and the Holy Spirit then is able to function with more power in that person's life. And it takes place more subtly over a longer period of time. This is the sort of normal experience of the spiritual life. And by normal, I mean the one that's more common. But there's another way, and this way is less common. And that is that occasionally, God in his infinite knowledge knows the best way to lead to conversion in a person's life is with more particular moments that are more powerful, more noticeable. God in his knowledge knows which of the two will lead a person better on the path to salvation. So on one hand, there's the slow, continual deepening in one's spiritual life. On the other hand, there are these moments where the Holy Spirit's power is revealed in a very particular way, in which a person has that experience of the power of the Holy Spirit and is able to surrender to that. And sometimes this is known as baptism in the Holy Spirit. Whichever way happens, God permits that to happen in a way that leads the person by the best means to their salvation. Either way works. We might desire to have one, but God has given us the other. Remember, it's God who knows how to lead us best to our salvation. In the end, whichever way happens is less relevant and less important than the fact that it does happen. And so for our part, how do we allow this to take place in our life? It really comes down to something that's very simple, the fidelity to our daily prayer life. I once had a professor in seminary say, Christianity is not complicated. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. And what he meant by that was we can overcomplicate how our spiritual life is supposed to be sometimes. But the simplicity of the spiritual life is its beauty. Fidelity to daily prayer, particularly time in meditation, and I would also propose examining our own life, as St. Ignatius taught us in the Daily Examine. These two bookends of our daily prayer life open us in a way for the power of the Holy Spirit to become operative in a very real way. Today, the church celebrates this great feast of Pentecost, where on one hand, we recognize what has happened, that in the early days of the church, that this originally Jewish feast day, where so many people were gathered in the city of Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, giving them the power to proclaim Christ, leading to thousands of conversions, and in fact, the birth of the church. We celebrate that that happened historically. But today, we should also be using this feast day to celebrate that God is at work today. That the work of the Holy Spirit did not end in the final chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, but that conversion, healing, and being set free from the chains of sin still happen today. Every Christian in the sacraments of baptism and confirmation is still, even today, given the infinite power of the Holy Spirit in their own life. But it's up to us to accept that power, to activate what has already been given to us. We are pre-approved through the sacraments to live the fullness of the Christian life with joy and fidelity, conversion of heart, pre-approved to be a saint. But it's up to us to activate that approval. It's up to us to cooperate with God's grace in our life. And just as we look to the past to see what God has done on Pentecost, that first Pentecost in Jerusalem, we also look forward to see what God is doing in our own personal Pentecost, our own personal experience of the unfolding of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we rejoice that God has called us to be saints and has given us the power of the Holy Spirit for us to grow in holiness and to spend eternity with him in heaven.